The other day, I was reading a very interesting article in the newspaper. And you know, I really thought that I was doing okay in life. Things were going well. How wrong could I have been? Because now there's this new and helpful survey which definitively measures how you're doing in life. So in those moments of, I wonder how I'm doing compared with the others. Now you've got the yardstick. The definitive scale on which to measure your success. Because there's 50 indicators of success in life. I kid you not. So how does your life measure up? Well, let's have a little taste, shall we, and let's see. You're rolling down near the bottom. Sign of the times, I suppose. At number 48, if you're on first name terms with the vicar. He's Rob, so everybody's at least at 48. You're doing well in Poynton at number 22 if you shop at Waitrose. If you've got your personalised number plate on your car, you're screaming up to number 15. Your very own wine cellar finds you at number 10. Frequent flying first class, number 8. Employing a full-time nanny to look after your kids, number 4. And top of the tree? Top of the tree of success in life, number 1. Your own holiday home. Now, granted, that survey was totally unscientific. But there's one other major factor in regarding this as utter rubbish. It appeared in the Daily Mail. But isn't there just a small bit of us that actually does this? We compare and we look at others and we seem to think that their lives are so much better than ours. We hear so often, they've made a success of their lives. Or they've made something of their lives. But also deep down in here, we know that it's hollow. We know that it's empty to live lives for stuff and so-called success. Because when we do that, it leaves this unquenchable ache in our hearts, in our souls, for something more when we live like that. Why? Why can't we be satisfied with stuff? Well, I think it's because real relationships are what ultimately matters. More than anything else. Our family, our friends. You know, I won't be gathering around me at my deathbed my boys' toys. I'll be gathering around me those who mean something to me, my friends, my family. You see, we're designed by God, our Creator, for relationship. Relationship with others and relationship with Him. That's what matters in life. And so the ache we feel, that intense dissatisfaction we feel when the retail therapy's worn off, or when that next project's finished and we're thinking, what do I do now? That intense dissatisfaction, that hole in our lives, can be because we've left God out of it. Because that's the way we're designed. That's why God won't go away. He won't go away even when secular atheists try to eradicate God from humanity. In states like China, they tried. But there's thought to be more Christians now in China than there are members of the I nearly said Conservative Party. than the Communist Party. Slip of the tongue there. You see, God won't go away. And when I talk about religion, and in particular Christianity, I'm not talking about having some kind of religious magic charm which sees us just through the hard times and solves every problem by ignoring that they exist. Some kind of religious frontal lobotomy that blinds us to the reality of life and how tough it can be. No, I'm not talking about that. You see, the Christmas message is wonderful. The Christmas message is that there is a God who's prepared. And we've read about that planning in our readings tonight. He planned the right time to enter our world as a man, Jesus. This isn't some kind of theology that's been developed over thousands of years. That's the way the first disciples saw it, because they were witnesses of what happened. That's the way history records it in the Gospels for us. You see, once you get that there's a real God who entered our world, who saw our mess, lived in it, and did something about it, well, that really gives us a completely new view of everything. It changes our view of life and what it's for, and our view of the world and what's going on. What the ultimate purpose of life is for. You see, it's for relationship. It's for relationship with this real God. And it's precisely because of Christmas and Easter that we can now enter this relationship with a real God. A relationship needs to be put on a right footing, and Jesus has done that on the cross. But so often, we don't believe. Not because there's no evidence. There is. And we often flatter ourselves if we think we don't believe because of some scientific outlook or thought. Because actually, disbelief is our gut instinct. They did it at Jesus' time, and he was stood right in front of them, and we do it now. So this God has burst onto the human scene at Christmas time in a really unobtrusive way. How silently the wondrous gift is given. Quietly, without a human fanfare, without a human fanfare that earthly kings desire, but rather in a dirty stable placed in an animal feeding trough. God, come to rescue us. He came humbly as a man, died our death so that we can live. Live life in relationship with him now and in the future. So how's your life stack up? Is it successful on the Daily Mail top 50 indices of success? You may not have got to number one, top of the tree. Or you may be floundering down there at number 48, only on first name terms with the Vicar Rob. But seriously, do we ask the question why? Why are so many dissatisfied? Why do we feel dissatisfied and unfulfilled often as individuals and in society? What is my life really for? Why am I here? Is this it? Well, the good news of Christmas is that there is an answer. There is a purpose. And it's because of Jesus. Paul in the Bible urges us to store up the right kind of treasure. Treasure that will be solid, a good foundation for the future. He says that we might take hold of life that is really life. Isn't that what we all really desire deep down? Life that's not just an existence and then you die, but rather life that is really life. And we need to take hold of it. So do we accumulate treasure on earth, striving for that so-called success in life? If we do, then we're told that we're building on sand as a foundation. It'll collapse. Build on a rock. Jesus is the rock of life that's solid. So will you take hold of life that is truly life? Lay hold of the authentic life which Jesus offers. Real life that begins now when we turn humbly to him and admit we need him. The two most popular songs ever are Amazing Grace and My Way. And I guess there are two ways to live as well. Doing it my way, or accepting God's amazing grace. Which way? Amazing grace or my way? Ultimately, only one really matters and truly satisfies. If you'd like to know more about this real life, then please say so on the door as you go out. I'll be stood there. I've got a leaflet that I'd be happy to give you. And there's a card as well. If you want to explore real life, then fill in this little card and pop it in the posting box or mention it to me on your way out. Because it matters.